It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Friday, as it were. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
It is Friday.
A little gloomy outside. I always feel bad. My parents got here yesterday from Texas, along with my brother Brent, his wife Tessa, and my nephews, Oliver and Owen. And you want to show off when somebody comes to San Diego, and you know we are also in the middle of June gloom, and it happens from time to time. And they got there yesterday, but listen, I mean it's still better than where they live. I mean it's not even close. Like, well, my brother lives in Austin. Austin's a pretty cool town, but it ain't here, you know, at the end of the day. So got to go see the family yesterday. It was awesome watching my boys play with my brother's boys, who are 12 and 9. It's just special. It's a really special thing. Watching them play football and stuff together, it was awesome. So they're in town. Did a little dinner last night. Didn't tell you who I ran into. So we went to... Don't judge me, Benny.
Trust. Don't worry.
Don't judge me.
Don't worry. I'm going to no matter what.
He's going to. All right. So you know where my parents are from. From Texas. You know what kind of food they like. They like Tex-Mex. So we went to Casa di Banditi. Which is good enough. It's fine. You go in. There's a seat for you. You know, and it's pretty loose and laid back. There's room for the kids. Anytime you're taking 4 kids to a restaurant, you know, you're like, got to make sure you can't go to fancy dinners.
I'll give you a pass.
Thank you, buddy.
Very close to your house.
It's very close to my house and very close to where they're staying. So yeah, it's like perfect. Thank you. I was in there. I stayed up all night worrying about your judgment. I almost just didn't tell you.
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, yeah, if you were going for the most authentic tacos, it's not the place, but
I get it.
Big group, people from out of town, festive, I give you a pass.
Yeah, it's easy peasy.
Yeah.
So there's a, down in this, you know, shopping center, they have this really cool play structure for kids. Really cool. It looks like Pringles that you can get on them and like climb all the way up this big tower, but there's a net around it so the kids feel safe, but it's really cool. They love it. So I take them down there. They're climbing on it. I look over and go, I know that guy. It's Nick Hundley, our beloved Nick Hundley. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm just watching my girls play. He's like, how you doing? I'm like, bro, I'm doing great. Man, we sat and chopped it up for 20 minutes talking about, you know, he's with the Texas Rangers organization. I go, so how's everything going? He goes, it's great. Are you kidding? He goes, should have brought my ring so I could show you. I'm like, you son of a bitch, really? Really? He was in fantasy camp with us. Couldn't have been a better human being.
Two years ago.
He
was awesome.
The greatest guy I've ever met. He was telling me stories, some of which I can't repeat, and asking me about, you know, radio rumors and things like that. The dude is... So I said...
We weren't on his team. We played against him and Brett Boone were the managers of that team. It was a blast.
And so he's such a good dude. And he was... Yeah, he's just telling me like, oh man, things are good, and it's such a good, well run organization. CY is the best, Boach is the best. It's like just they're gritted teeth, just like awesome, man.
By the way, cool. They have the exact same record as the Padres, 2 games under .500 right now.
They're also sitting on a World Series ring.
Yeah, would that make a difference? Would you be okay with?
I'd be drunk still. I'd be drunk every day. Are you kidding me? Of course it would make a difference. Of course it would.
I mean, that's the funny thing about how big of a difference it makes. They're not off to a good start. Not having a great season.
No.
But things feel fine because they had a good one last year.
100,000,000,000,000%.
Hey, that's in the past.
Doesn't matter.
That's
dude.
In the past.
Ring, flags fly forever.
You can't live on past accomplishments.
Flags fly forever.
Watch me.
Watch me. Yeah, watch me. I'll be drunk for a year after Padres win the World Series. But it was awesome to see him, man, and telling some baseball stories. So I said, dude, you'll come on sometime. He goes, anytime you guys want me to come on,
love
all you got to do is let me know. I said, bro, it is a done deal. So really nice to see him and just a cool guy. He was telling me some stories about back in the day when he used to catch Peavy, or he didn't catch Peavy. He caught all four other guys, but Henry Blanco was Peavy's catcher. And he was just telling me these stories. I could sit and listen to him all day. He goes, one time I asked Tim Flannery. No, he asked somebody that a really good infield guru. Who's the best infielder you've ever seen? He goes, Henry Blanco. I go, you're kidding. Out of everybody in baseball. He goes, Woodsy, do you know he never blocked a ball? Never. He never would drop to his knees and block. He picked everything. He goes, anywhere it was, he could pick it. Like a first baseman, never got out of his squat. I go, you're kidding. He goes, the best hands maybe in the history of baseball, Henry Blanco. And I'm just sitting here going, man, this game is so great. Even though the results on the field aren't what we want this last week, it's just still the greatest game of all time. It just is the greatest game. And the stories that come out from guys like Nick Hundley, who were around the league for a long time, that played in this organization, I never tire of it.
I'll have to reach out to Hundley. He lives here.
Like, that's what I was
saying. We got to get him in studio.
100%. Come in one morning. So I was asking him, like, so what do you, he's like, man, these are my two little girls. They're here. They're in school. I commute. But he basically commutes to work for the Texas Rangers, man. But, you know, you think about it and you go, I mean, that guy's here, you know, he's here, a valuable resource and working for another team. It's kind of a bummer, but, guys like that, man, are just the best. My favorite kind of baseball player.
He's one of the very few players I covered that I felt like in a pinch, if I needed someone to like babysit my kids, like I'd trust Nick Hundley to do it.
I 1000% almost said to him, do you mind if I go get a beer?
Right.
And you can watch the kids here. He's the greatest, man. The greatest guy. So he wished us all the best and is just a really, really solid cat. So it was fun, man, getting to see my family and catch up with Nick Hundley last night. So it was a good night. We're going to go out to the ball yard tonight. Hopefully the guys can scratch out a win. It's been a while since they scratched out a win. But listen, man, I watched the game last night. There were some things that drove me absolutely bananas. We will talk about them today. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. I mean, what are you going to do? You can only beat the table so much.
It
sucks.
We'll talk about it. I am going to go out after the show today and go to Goat Hill Park. And we've got our tournament coming up at Goat Hill in less than 2 weeks now, and if you still want to sign up, you can do so. We got a few slots remaining.
We're going to give you about another week, I think.
Yeah, we want you to get in. We've got some great sponsors who have set up terrific prizes from Callaway. We've got beer from Virgin Beer, Maestro Dobel, Better Buzz Coffee is in yesterday. Woodsy said he's going to get donuts for everybody. It's National Donut Day.
Yeah, I will.
National Donut Day. But I'm going to play, I believe, with our buddy Matt Ginella from the Fire Pit Collective.
Love Matt.
And I saw it became official yesterday.
Big day for the Ginella household yesterday.
Yes,
yeah.
It became official, so I feel like we can talk about it on the air. Matt Ginella is currently taping because his wife is a new cast member on season 18 of The Real Housewives of Orange County.
It must be out of his mind.
And I've heard a couple of the stories already, but now it's official. It's out. Mm. Katie Ginella posted yesterday on our Instagram account, cat is out of the bag, and you will see her and Maddie and their kids if you watch that show on Bravo. I know Megan, Paul's wife, is a big religious watcher of the Real Housewives. I've never really experienced the show, but apparently it's pretty... It's pretty hardcore for the reality fans of that show.
As far as reality TV goes, it can get gnarly. I mean, they've had like women getting caught up in like full-on financial and legal scandals.
Yeah, there's been some like indictments and
stuff.
The girl
in Utah, I don't remember her name, but she was married to the football coach at Utah or something. Shaw, not Shaw, but anyways. She was like going to prison while they were filming.
Very
cool.
They're
like, "Hey, is so and so here? You're coming with us." Like,
someone in the show is connected with the
Ipe
Mizuara, the gambling scandal, and the bookie that's involved. Katie, I've met her a couple of times. She seems like the nicest, sweetest person. I hope she doesn't get eaten by
alive.
The sharks on that show because, you know, Maddie's a nice guy and they
Maddie's
have such a nice family. But they've been living this life up in Orange County.
I was at home yesterday and Megan goes, "Oh, God, the trailer's here." She watches it. She goes, "Oh, no." She goes, "I think they're going to make Katie one of the villains."
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
She's going after one of the girls. I'm like,
bro, I couldn't do it. I don't have, obviously, you've seen me on social media. I don't have the stomach for it. Holy smokes. It's not for me. You gotta have the stomach to do it. I do not have the stomach to do it.
You kind of are one of the Padres' real house husbands here, though.
Yeah, definitely.
We live the social media life of the Padres that they don't live. They're just worried about playing the baseball.
Right.
We live among the fans playing the social media game of the Padres season.
100%.
In this like high profile role that we have, so that you're kind of already in this life.
That's true. But without all the real fame and adulation and money, so
right.
Yeah, the benefits, the perks, you know,
all the negatives, none of the positives.
Yeah. It's super cool. It's very cool. I'm doing great. I'm doing super well.
It's been a fun week.
It has been a really fun week. The cannibalism. On the timeline after the Padres lose, the fingers that go pointing it's gnarly. I mean, it is like, you got to try to take it with a grain of salt. But when this team loses, this town starts to crater. I mean, it's just from the inside, you know, and nobody likes to lose. I hate losing it at almost anything I do. There's nothing that I do in life where I go, "Hell yeah, I lost." Nothing. You know, I expect to lose when I play golf with Ben. I mean, I know. Like, I'm not delusional like he is when he thinks he can beat Steve Sugimoto. I know Ben's going to kick my ass at golf.
Right.
I don't ever think, "No, I'm going to get him. You know, I'm going to get him today. I'm terrible." But, like, everything else in life, if I'm playing cards, I want to win. If I'm playing basketball with my 6-year-old, I want to not let him, you know, take it to the hole. I want to take it to him. But just with this team, man, it's hard to love something so much of which you have no control. Zero. I have zero control on how this team plays. Good, bad, you know, indifferent, whatever. And it's hard. That's what makes sports so hard sometimes is you're watching going, "I wish I could control this," and I can't. And it makes it tough. So
what did you think about what Chris Ellis said it during the roundtable, and they talked about it on Gwen and Chris yesterday.
Oh, we lied. We said we were going to play the roundtable.
The Bill J. Yeah, if they lost, we were going to play the roundtable.
I totally forgot.
We can't really do that. We have like 17, things we got to get to, right? I mean, there's no spots, and we'll be like an hour behind if we do that. What Bill James tweeted a few days ago, where he said,
"It's that time, Prior Faithful. Time to discuss everything
right
going on with the Padres."
All right, we'll talk to you at 7:12 a.m.
We've gathered the entire 97.3 The Fan crew together to bring you the most
in-depth
discussion
tweet
on the Priors in our weekly Padres Roundtable, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. Here's your host, Ben Higgins.
All right, I think we're
time
on.
To talk, yeah.
We're just kind of settling in here to the Padres Roundtable, presented by Roundtable Pizza. We've got most of the crew in today.
Did everybody hear me?
I can't do it. This is worse than Bob Dylan.
I can't do it either.
I'll save the Bill James tweet, and we'll come back. I'll do it next.
Read the tweet.
Coming off the three-game sweep. All right, the tweet was, "Fans of a 500 team overreact to every win and loss. A good team, you know you can't win them all. A 100 loss team, you get used to it. A 500 team, emotionally, you're just as good as the last 24 hours.
Let's ask Mike Schilt that exact question.
Do we overreact to every single game as fans, as Padres fans especially, now?
And is that okay? Is that okay to do?
We'll talk about that next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check traffic this morning on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Woods' headphones are in the trash now.
Were those your
headphones? Quick. That just happened just instantly. Gone.
Cutting out for weeks.
A while? All right. He's getting the backup pair and getting it going here. So, the tweet that they were talking about yesterday on Gwynn and Chris from Bill James, noted Red Sox and statistical guru. Fans of a 500 team overreact every win and loss. A good team, you know you can't win them all. A 100-loss team, you get used to it. A 500 team, emotionally, you're as good as the last 24 hours.
I mean, it's pretty profound, actually. And Bill James, I can go back and forth on Bill James all day. He's had some really horrible takes in the last few years,
true,
especially. That is a really...
I agree with this one.
That's a profound statement, and it actually sums up exactly what this experience has been like, not just this season, not just last season, but the season before as well. The playoffs the season before, notwithstanding, the season leading up to the playoffs was pretty excruciating.
When you're around 500, there's nothing that a 4 or 5 game winning streak wouldn't fix.
Correct.
And there's nothing that a 4 or 5 game losing streak can't ruin.
Correct.
And that is absolutely true. If the Padres reeled off 5 wins right now, life would be absolutely fine by this time on Wednesday.
Yep.
It would be fine. Hey, Tatis is hot. Pitching's been really good.
Yeah.
They just won 5 in a row. This team looks like a solid playoff team. I mean, nothing that couldn't be fixed in a matter of 5 days when you're 500. The Angels just swept there's no reason for Angels fans to get excited about sweeping the Padres. They still know, doesn't matter, we're not going anywhere. We know our team's not good. In the end, we're going to lose 95, 98 games, something like that. That was just an anomaly over the course of the season. Similarly, you know, Phillies drop one or two. Yankees, you know, lose one or two here. Fans, and there's no reason to get up in arms. They know, well, we'll be fine. We're going to win 95, 100 games. You're going to be in the playoffs at the end of the year. That's just the normal, you know, ups and downs of baseball, the random noise that happens over a 162-game season. But when you are sitting around 500, and the Padres have literally been between 3 games over and 4 games under 500 every single day of this season. The best they've been was 3 games over. That was 5 days ago. Now they've lost 5 in a row. They're 2 games under. The worst they were was 4 games under. When they lost 5 in a row last time, they immediately won 4 straight to get back to 500. You're always going to feel only as good as the last game or the last, you know, series. And you're going to react much more strongly to it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a profound statement, and it's absolutely true, and it's been true for the last couple of years, and I don't know what you do to change it. You've changed managers. You've overhauled the pitching staff. You've overhauled the bullpen. You've added pieces to the lineup. You've subtracted pieces from the lineup. You've been aggressive on the base paths. You've been not aggressive. The only thing I'm seeing really differently out of this year's team is they're giving away outs a lot more than last year's team. And I know the record is the exact same as it was this date last season, albeit with $100 million less of payroll. It just goes to show you how disappointing last year was. But again, it's not that this year isn't disappointing. It is so far. There's time to remedy it. Sure, there's absolutely time to remedy it. You just said it. You know, nothing a 4 or 5 game winning streak wouldn't cure for this fan base, our mental health, the San Diego Padres team as a whole, and Mike Schilt, the manager of the San Diego Padres, and A.J. Preller, the general manager and president of baseball operations. I'm sure he's in the chamber right now. You know, nobody likes to see their favorite team drop 5 in a row, 5 close games in a row either. You know, all games could have gone either way. And I'm not, the thing is, though, is I can't come in here and go, hey, at least they're fighting, keeping it close, because that's disingenuous.
Well, I think part of it is that you have to react a little bit more strongly when your team's around 500. A 5-game losing streak could actually be the beginning of the end.
100%.
You know, last year, when they were 32-34, we all thought, they'll
figure it
fine.
Out. Dude, they're going to figure it out.
They're fine. It's not what we expected, but this team's going to go on a run.
Yeah.
They're going to be fun. And they weren't. They went the other direction. They dug themselves into such a deep hole that even the streak at the end of the season could not save them. Certainly know it could happen to this team. This could be the stretch right now. When you look back at the end of the season, that completely unravels the 2024 Padres. Or could just be one of those regular 5-game losing streaks that every team is going to go through at some point, and the Padres bounce back, and, you know, in a week, we're going like, all right, everything's fine here in San Diego. Don't know which direction they're going. So, of course you have to react to it. Of course.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about it is that it's massively frustrating. It's massively, massively frustrating. And there's a hump. They can't get over it. Somebody tweeted the other day, and it made sense to me. It's like 500 is a magnet to this team, and it just pulls them back. They get a couple games over, right back. It is just, it's been a magnet. There's a mentality, and I don't want to say that there's a, I think I'd be foolish to say, there's a mentality with the team and the organization that 500 is okay. I don't believe that. I think that's not the right way to spend as much money as they have spent in the last few years and operate. I don't think that that's their, hey, as long as we're 500, we're fine. I mean, in this current iteration of the NL, it's actually fine right now. But you got to, other teams are going to figure stuff out. They are going to get guys back. They are going to get healthier. They're going to get locked in. You're seeing how long it took Fernando Tatis Jr. to get locked in. What if Corbin Carroll gets locked in? What if Mike Yastrzemski gets locked in for the Giants and Logan Webb and all these guys? What if they unlock something and start figuring it out? You're screwing around hoping that the other teams are going to continue to play as poorly as you have, and now you're losing head-to-head to them, and you're losing to teams that are well below 500. That's a problem for the San Diego Padres, man.
All right, here's what we've got on the program coming up today. There were some interesting, at least, aspects of last night's game. We'll discuss the 4-3 loss to the Diamondbacks in our Padres wrap-up. It was in a historic now 5-game losing streak for the Padres. We'll tell you why. Plus, to discuss the bad call that ended the game. Mike Schilt did get ejected, I believe. Can you get ejected after a game is already over?
Yeah, I want to ask him what the punishment
is. I think it's just for record keeping.
Yeah.
Are you technically ejected from the next game now? Because it's once the game is over.
Do you have to pay a fine or something if you get run? I don't know.
Probably.
I'm going to ask him.
We can talk about that. Mike Schilt will join us. Our manager's report at 9 o'clock. In between all of that, we'll have regular features like Take on Woods, Don't Do This, and it is a grand ol' Friday, which means Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue going to join us at 8 o'clock today as we talk about the grand ol' game of baseball with Jordan. Always fun.
And with Jordan, I want to ask him about something that they have been tweeting about. They've talked about this team before. Do you remember the team they talked about that led college baseball and getting hit by pitches?
Yeah.
It's like their whole thing.
Yeah.
They just won another championship with another ungodly amount of hit by pitches. It's such a riveting, fascinating story. The guys were tweeting about it, so I want to ask them about that. Anything to distract us from Padres baseball for a minute.
It's all coming up. We'll get into last night's latest disappointment for the San Diego Padres when we come back with our Padres wrap-up next. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Seeing video replays, Jake Cronenworth, hot at the end of that game last night. We will talk about it coming up in our Padres wrap-up. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by...
should be, by the way.
Sure. Who wouldn't be? This hour brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I think I'm going to check them out today, expresspros.com. I'm ready for a new job.
Did your paycheck from the Padres not clear?
Ooh, that's a shot. That's a...
Is that a shot?
Not at me. A lot of misinformation out there. It's all right. Happens. Do submit. Again, I saw a tweet a couple weeks ago. Podcast microphone should cost $40,000. Solve a lot of the world's problems. Sorry. Moving on.
All right. We will get to our Padres wrap up and talk about last night's latest frustrating loss after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
And now Walker hits one in the air to very deep left center field. Merrill is back into the gap. On the run, won't get there. Hits off the base of the wall. Walker thought it was gone. Just now gets to second base. Ahead of the throw, he is in with an RBI double. And the Diamondbacks lead it 1-0 here in the top of the first inning. 1-1 pitch hit in the air straightaway center deep. Merrill back on the warning track. At the wall, leaps up, going to go. Home run, Eugenio Suarez, his fifth of the year. Straight away, right away, center field here at Petco. And the Diamondback lead is 2-0. Pitch here, hit in the air to deep left field. If that is fair, it is gone, and it is. Lower balcony, the Western Metal Building. Moreno hits his second home run of the year. And the Diamondbacks go back to back. It is 3-0 in the second inning. Here's the 1-0. Higashioka hits it in the air. Deep to left towards the corner. Curiel looking up. Gonna go! Number 3 for Kyle Higashioka. A lead shot here in the fifth inning, and the Padres are on the board. It's 3-1. Here's Fernando. And Tatis lines it into right field, a base hit. 8 for his last 8 to tie a franchise record.
That boy good.
Here's the pitch from Mantiply, and Cronenworth hits it in the air. Very shallow left. Long run, Gurriel charging in, dives forward, and he did not make the catch. Throw comes in, hits Fernando, stays by the bag at third. He will score, and the game is tied. Arise read it all the way to score. The throw hit Tatis, and that allowed him to come in, and it is 3-3 here in the fifth. Here's the 1-0 to Marte. He lines it into left field, base hit. Darryl rounding third, going to try and score, and he will. Profar boots it. It rolls all the way away, and that allows Marte to go into second base. The Diamondbacks are back in front. It's 4-3. Here's the pitch from Seawald, and it is taken on the outside corner. Strike three call. Pitch was away. Jinks giving an earful to Eric Backes. Not that it'll matter. Cronenworth might end up getting ejected. So might Mike Schilt, but the game is over. Schilt has come out. Now he's face-to-face with Backes. Padres have had issues all night long with the strike zone, and the game ends on a very borderline pitch for strike three call. Schilt was ejected just for record-keeping purposes. I don't believe that Cronenworth was, and a bitter, bitter pill to swallow at the end of a 4-3 loss here to the Diamondbacks in game one of the series.
Yeah, even more so because you'd like to have a chance to actually end the game with on your own terms. You know, I respect the umpiring profession highly, and I don't complain a lot. I got guys busting their asses all night. I got a guy with a little mild strain with his hip flexor who shows up and willing to take an at bat, try to win us a ball game. I got guys, playing their asses off all over the field, competing their tails off. Crony's in a dogfight there at the end against their closer. You know, we get a guy on base, Pro works a walk, steals a bag, gives a chance to tie a game, brings Suarez in. You know, listen, man, you can't end a game with a ball, 6 inches off the plate and borderline high. I mean, listen, that's just not acceptable. You know, and again, we lost. I take ownership of that. Don't want to blame anybody, but that's a bad way to end a ball game.
Another very, 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 very excruciating loss. Again, I tweeted it last night. Sure. No one is harder on umpires than I am, but letting that game get down to that scenario and that situation is
the game almost never comes down to
right
one call from the umpire.
Yeah, like we both
or the referee.
You both played clean. You know, everyone played clean. He missed one call. No.
There's always a point, whether it's basketball, football, baseball,
you
whatever,
look back
where you can go. That's where we lost
the game. That's where we lost the game.
That's where we could have really put some distance in.
Correct.
But last night's game was pretty simple. It was in the runners in scoring position category.
No question.
1-for-14.
That will not get the job done.
Where the Padres lost the game yesterday.
It will not get the job done. I do not like this current brand of baseball that the San Diego Padres are playing. It reeks of unconfident players. And I understand. They asked Mike Schilt about the bunts last night from Pro and from Jackson Merrill. The Merrill one was called. I still don't understand why not. I don't understand why you bunt Jackson Merrill, who is, again, has proven to be a guy that gives you a really solid bat. He's not incapable of a double in that scenario. He's not incapable. I'm not going to expect him to go up and hit a home run, but he's not incapable of doing that. My three-hole hitter playing for a tie in the fifth inning makes me insane. It makes me insane.
I agree with you, actually. So Mike Schilt said after the game that...
Hey, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Look, we always are giving guys opportunity. Pro saw what he saw and took advantage of it, and Jackson was, hey, get him over and let's give a shot at Kimmy and Waity.
You're content kind of there, knowing the situation, knowing that...
Yeah, Jackson was more called.
Okay.
Yep.
So playing for the tie there, can you kind of go into what that...
We're at home. We got Suarez rested. We got to get the lead. We got to tie before we can get the lead. So, we hadn't played with too late with a tie ball game so we want to take our shot and get our closer in there.
You can get your closer in there with a lead as well if you don't give away outs. Fernando Tatis Jr. is so locked in at the plate. The ball looks like a beach ball to him. He's hitting the ball everywhere. You can't get
June Fernando. Is just unreal.
You can't get picked off second base. You just can't do it. You cannot get picked off in that situation.
Let's finish talking about the bunts.
Well,
first.
Hold on, because it all correlates. That's an out you gave away, right? You gave that out away with poor shoddy base running, and then you gave away two more. So you get 27 outs to play with, essentially, and you gave away three. You've taken a 9-inning game. You've now made it an 8-inning game. So now you got to win in 8 innings because you're handing the other team easy outs, free outs at the big league level. It just reeks of I'm not confident in my abilities as a hitter, even though Jerkson's having a monster year, right? I'm not confident. And to order it, I think I look at it and I go, why aren't you confident in the abilities of your team? I know you're scuffling right now. I know you are. But you're capable of and have proven that you're capable of, especially with, look, man, nothing against Kimmy and Wadey, but you got to know who's coming up behind you there.
I agree with you. Jurickson, you could tell from Mike Schild, who never, ever hangs a player out to dry. Even he couldn't own. I didn't call for that one. He said Jurickson saw what he saw, thought maybe that was the right thing to do. I think Mike Schild disagreed with Jurickson's decision to bunt there. I could tell you that's as far as he's ever going to go. He's not going to criticize, but that was not one that the manager wanted. But he admitted he called for the Jackson Merrill bunt. And here's why I disagree with Bless it you. As well. As you said, the hitters coming up are not exactly the ones that you are expecting to drive in a bunch of runs, so you're setting up two of your bottom-of-the-order guys. But Jackson, as you said, can hit a double. He's also not the biggest either strikeout or double play threat. Correct. Because he makes good contact. He's got a lot of speed. Could he ground into a force out and not move the runner over? Of course.
That's absolutely a possibility,
but he could also hit one to the gap. He could hit a single. You're giving away an out there that you don't have to give away. You could still advance the runner, even if, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen that could still advance the runner without automatically giving up the out. I disagreed with the decision there to bunt in that situation, as both of us do in most situations in Major League Baseball.
Anthony says, we got two of our three runs off that play. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you bunted him over. Crony lobbed one into left. Gurriel dropped the ball. You did get a little bit lucky there in that scenario. But again, if they're on first and second, Pro doesn't bunt them over. Are you telling me that your three-hole hitter is the guy you want laying it down? Again, it's dependent on who, where you are in your lineup, who is at the plate, and who is coming up behind them. That's my biggest issue with it there. And I think playing for a tie in the fifth inning, to me, it's just not confident baseball.
I also disagree with the take that because they scored runs that inning,
that it was a great play.
That it was a successful play. You lost the game. You didn't win the game. You
Correct.
Lost the game. That could have been the inning where you scored five runs and ended up winning the game. But you gave up an out during your biggest rally of the game. To me, that's a sign of a mistake, not a successful baseball play.
It's just an unconfident team, and playing for ties at home, it doesn't make sense to me. When you're scuffling, I understand you want to do anything you can to try to get a spark. But for me, knowing the risk reward, that you're most likely going to get, they're going to get an out. Right? The risk is you're going to give them a free out. The reward is they may throw one away, maybe. I don't know, man. I just think the risk reward is I want my guys to try to split the gap here, and let's get four or five runs here. Let's try. That should be the goal. Let's try to maybe get a lead and hold it instead of let's try to tie. It's very college baseball for me, and this is not a college baseball team. And Jurickson Profar is in the three hole for a reason, and it's not to bunt. It's not, and it's to help contribute to a big inning, and especially in the fifth inning, man. I just, those are the kind of things. And Toddy, you know, getting picked off. I just, the three outs we handed the Arizona Knight, and they're too good to hand three outs to.
Couple other notes. So Randy Vasquez obviously got off to the rough start, giving up three runs early, but recovered to throw another excellent game. 6 2/3 innings. Six hits, just those three runs. He was getting booed when he gave up the back-to-back home runs in the second. He got a standing ovation when he walked off the mound in the seventh. I tweeted about that last night. Got a lot of reaction from people who said, well, that's why you don't boo your own players, because they turn it around. And then you're cheering them, and you look silly that you booed a guy that you're then giving a standing ovation to in the same game. I also had people who said, maybe the booze inspired him to pitch better the rest of the game. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I don't mind fans expressing their frustration when the Padres fell behind 3-0, having already lost four games in a row. What is the natural and expected reaction? What are you supposed to do? Stand up and applaud? Like, hey, Do better next time. Come on, man. Here we go.
It's not Little League.
It's not
man.
Little League. You're going to boo in a situation like that.
Yeah, I don't care about booing.
Seeing video replays. Jake Cronenworth, hot at the end of that game last night. We will talk about it coming up in our Padres wrap up. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought
As
to you by.
Should be, by the way.
Sure. Who wouldn't be? This hour brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I think I'm going to check them out today, expresspros.com. I'm ready for a new job.
Did your paycheck from the Padres not clear?
Ooh, that's a shot. That's a...
Is that a shot?
Not at me. A lot of misinformation out there. It's all right. Happens. Do submit. Again, I saw a tweet a couple weeks ago. Podcast microphone should cost $40,000. Solve a lot of the world's problems. Sorry. Moving on.
All right. We will get to our Padres wrap up and talk about last night's latest frustrating loss after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
And now Walker hits one in the air to very deep left center field. Merrill is back into the gap. On the run, won't get there. Hits off the base of the wall. Walker thought it was gone. Just now gets to second base. Ahead of the throw, he is in with an RBI double. And the Diamondbacks lead it 1-0 here in the top of the first inning. 1-1 pitch hit in the air straightaway center deep. Merrill back on the warning track. At the wall, leaps up, going to go. Home run, Eugenio Suarez, his fifth of the year. Straight away, right away, center field here at Petco. And the Diamondback lead is 2-0. Pitch here, hit in the air to deep left field. If that is fair, it is gone, and it is. Lower balcony, the Western Metal Building. Moreno hits his second home run of the year. And the Diamondbacks go back to back. It is 3-0 in the second inning. Here's the 1-0. Higashioka hits it in the air. Deep to left towards the corner. Gurriel looking up. Gonna go! Number 3 for Kyle Higashioka. A lead shot here in the fifth inning, and the Padres are on the board. It's 3-1. Here's Fernando. And Tatis lines it into right field, a base hit. 8 for his last 8 to tie a franchise record.
That boy good.
Here's the pitch from Mantiply, and Cronenworth hits it in the air. Very shallow left. Long run, Gurriel charging in, dives forward, and he did not make the catch. Throw comes in, hits Fernando, stays by the bag at third. He will score, and the game is tied. Arise read it all the way to score. The throw hit Tatis, and that allowed him to come in, and it is 3-3 here in the fifth. Here's the 1-0 to Marte. He lines it into left field, base hit. Darryl rounding third, going to try and score, and he will. Profar boots it. It rolls all the way away, and that allows Marte to go into second base. The Diamondbacks are back in front. It's 4-3. Here's the pitch from Seawald, and it is taken on the outside corner. Strike 3 call. Pitch was away. Jinks giving an earful to Eric Backes. Not that it'll matter. Cronenworth might end up getting ejected. So might Mike Schilt, but the game is over. Schilt has come out. Now he's face-to-face with Backes. Padres have had issues all night long with the strike zone, and the game ends on a very borderline pitch for strike 3 call. Schilt was ejected just for record-keeping purposes. I don't believe that Cronenworth was, and a bitter, bitter pill to swallow at the end of a 4-3 loss here to the Diamondbacks in Game 1 of the series.
Yeah, even more so because you'd like to have a chance to actually end the game with on your own terms. You know, I respect the umpiring profession highly, and I don't complain a lot. I got guys busting their asses all night. I got a guy with a little mild strain with his hip flexor who shows up and willing to take an at bat, try to win us a ball game. That guy's playing their asses off all over the field, competing their tails off. Crony's in a dogfight there at the end against their closer. You know, we get a guy on base, Pro works a walk, steals a bag, gives a chance to tie a game, brings Suarez in. You know, listen, man, you can't end a game with a ball, you know, 6 inches off the plate and borderline high. I mean, listen, that's just not acceptable. You know, and again, we lost. I take ownership of that. Don't want to blame anybody, but I don't. That's a bad way to end a ball game.
Another very, 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 very excruciating loss. Again, I tweeted it last night. Sure, and hey, listen, no one is harder on umpires than I am, but letting that game get down to that scenario and that situation is
the game almost never comes down to
right.
One call from the umpire.
Yeah, like we both
or the referee.
You both played clean. You know, everyone played clean. He missed one call. No.
There's always a point, whether it's basketball, football, baseball,
you
whatever,
look back
where you can go. That's where we lost.
That's where we lost the game.
That's where we could have really put some distance in.
Correct.
But
last night's game was pretty simple. It was in the runners in scoring position category.
No question.
1-for-14.
That will not
get
the job done.
Where the Padres lost the game yesterday.
It will not get the job done. I do not like this current brand of baseball that the San Diego Padres are playing. It reeks of unconfident players. And I understand. They asked Mike Schilt about the bunts last night from Pro and from Jackson Merrill. The Merrill one was called. I still don't understand why not. I don't understand why you bunt Jackson Merrill, who is, again, has proven to be a guy that gives you a really solid bat. He's not incapable of a double in that scenario. He's not incapable. I'm not going to expect him to go up and hit a home run, but he's not incapable of doing that. My three-hole hitter playing for a tie in the fifth inning makes me insane. It makes me insane.
I agree with you, actually. So Mike Schilt said after the game that...
Hey, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
I mean, look, we always are giving guys opportunity. Pro saw what he saw and took advantage of it, and Jackson was, hey, get him over and let's give a shot at Kimmy and Wadey.
You're content kind of there, knowing the situation, knowing that...
Yeah, I mean, Jackson was more called.
Okay.
Yeah.
So playing for the tie there, can you kind of go into what that...
Because I mean, we're at home. We got Suarez rested. We got to get the lead. We got to tie before we can get the lead. So, we hadn't played with too late with a tie ball game or so we want to take our shot and get our closer in there. So,
you can get your closer in there with a lead as well if you don't give away outs and hey, listen. Fernando Tatis Jr. is so locked in at the plate. The ball looks like a beach ball to him. He's hitting the ball everywhere. You can't get
June Fernando. You
can't,
just unreal.
You can't get picked off second base. You just can't do it. You cannot get picked off in that situation.
Let's finish talking about the bunts.
Well,
first.
Hold on, because it all correlates. That's an out you gave away, right? You gave that out away with poor shoddy base running, and then you gave away two more. So you get 27 outs to play with, essentially, and you gave away three. You've taken a 9-inning game. You've now made it an 8-inning game. So now you got to win in 8 innings because you're handing the other team easy outs, free outs at the big league level. It just reeks of I'm not confident in my abilities as a hitter, even though Jerkson's having a monster year, right? I'm not confident. And to order it, I think I look at it and I go, why aren't you confident in the abilities of your team? I know you're scuffling right now. I know you are. But you're capable of and have proven that you're capable of, especially with, look, man, nothing against Kimmy and Wadey, but you got to know who's coming up behind you there.
I agree with you. Jurickson, you could tell from Mike Schilt, who never, ever hangs a player out to dry. Even he couldn't own. I didn't call for that one. He said Jurickson saw what he saw. Thought maybe that was the right thing to do. I think Mike Schilt disagreed with Jurickson's decision to bunt there. I could tell you that's as far as he's ever going to go. He's not going to criticize, but that was not one that the manager wanted. But he admitted he called for the Jackson Merrill bunt. And here's why I disagree with it as well. As you said, the hitters coming up are not exactly the ones that you are expecting to drive in a bunch of runs, so you're setting up two of your bottom of the order guys. But Jackson, as you said, can hit a double. He's also not the biggest either strikeout or double play threat.
Correct.
Because he makes good contact. He's got a lot of speed. Could he ground into a force out and not move the runner over, of course.
That's absolutely a possibility,
but he could also hit one to the gap. He could hit a single. You're giving away an out there that you don't have to give away. You could still advance the runner, even if, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen that could still advance the runner without automatically giving up the out. I disagreed with the decision there to bunt in that situation, as both of us do in most situations in Major League Baseball.
Anthony says, we got two of our three runs off that play. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you bunted him over. Crony lobbed one into left. Gurriel dropped the ball. You did get a little bit lucky there in that scenario. But again, if they're on first and second, if they're on first and second, Pro doesn't bunt them over. Are you telling me that your three-hole hitter is the guy you want laying it down? Again, it's dependent on who, where you are in your lineup, who is at the plate, and who is coming up behind them. That's my biggest issue with it there. And I think playing for a tie in the fifth inning, to me, it's just not confident baseball.
I also disagree with the take that because they scored runs that inning,
that it was a great play.
That it was a successful play. You lost the game. You didn't win the game. You lost the game. That could have been the inning where you scored five runs and ended up winning the game, but you gave up an out during your biggest rally of the game. To me, that's a sign of a mistake, not a successful baseball play.
It's just an unconfident team, and playing for ties at home, it doesn't make sense to me. When you're scuffling, I understand you want to do anything you can to try to get a spark. But for me, knowing the risk reward, that you're most likely going to get, they're going to get an out. Right? The risk is you're going to give them a free out. The reward is they may throw one away, maybe. I don't know, man. I just think the risk reward is I want my guys to try to split the gap here, and let's get four or five runs here. Let's try. That should be the goal. Let's try to maybe get a lead and hold it instead of let's try to tie. It's very college baseball for me, and this is not a college baseball team. And Jerickson Profar is in the three hole for a reason, and it's not to bunt. It's not, and it's to help contribute to a big inning, and especially in the fifth inning, man. I just, those are the kind of things. And Toddy, you know, getting picked off. I just, the three outs we handed the Arizona Knight, and they're too good to hand three outs to.
Couple other notes. So Randy Vasquez obviously got off to the rough start, giving up three runs early, but recovered to throw another excellent game. 6 2/3 innings. Six hits, just those three runs. He was getting booed when he gave up the back-to-back home runs in the second. He got a standing ovation when he walked off the mound in the seventh. I tweeted about that last night. Got a lot of reaction from people who said, well, that's why you don't boo your own players, because they turn it around. And then you're cheering them, and you look silly that you booed a guy that you're then giving a standing ovation to in the same game. I also had people who said, maybe the booze inspired him to pitch better the rest of the game. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I don't mind fans expressing their frustration when the Padres fell behind 3-0, having already lost four games in a row. What is the natural and expected reaction? What are you supposed to do? Stand up and applaud? Like, hey, do better next time. Come on, man. Here we go.
It's not Little League.
You're going to boo in a situation like that.
Yeah, I don't care about booing. It's just unconfident baseball right now, and a little bit panic. It's a panic move, I think, by some of these guys right now. And again, dancing off second base, there's no reason. You're scoring on a hit. You're one of the faster guys on the team, if not the fastest guy on the team. You're scoring on a knock. So it just risk reward with this team. None of it's paying off really right now. I mean, we talked about the stat yesterday on the roundtable, Benny, that Craig had of they've run into five more outs than they've created. That's not a recipe for winning baseball. So they got to figure out a way to get that turnaround. I'm going to ask Mike Schild, how do you stop your players from doing goofy stuff? Right? It's easy at every other level. Every other level of baseball is easy to do. If my son, and I'm coaching my son, and he does goofy stuff, you know what I do with my son? I put him on the bench until he figures it out. I work with him. You know, we go out and do practice. We practice base running. College level. You do some goofy stuff more than once, you're probably going to get benched. the minor leagues. You do some goofy stuff, they're going to work with you. They're going to teach you, but they're probably going to get benched. You're not going to bench Profar. You're not going to bench Tatis.
No, but how do you pass along that lesson without completely ruining the confidence of a player and knowing at some point you do have to take an extra base?
Sure.
At some point you do have to be aggressive. You can't simply play passive, 100% careful baseball
all the time. I'm
not talking
about taking an extra base. I'm talking about getting picked off. Getting picked off.
Right, but
we are leading.
He was trying to steal third to get there with one out so he could score with one out. He was looking to make an aggressive play to get the Padres on the board.
But he didn't.
Did he leave too early? Yeah. He left too early. He didn't read the situation correctly.
We are leading baseball in players picked off. That is not a stat you want to lead baseball in. It's goofy base running, and it's pressing, and it's trying to do too much, trying to make something out of nothing, lack of confidence in your team, whatever it may be. I mean, but it's not going to contribute to success. It's just not. And in fact, it's hurting you.
However you look at it, it is one of the most unusual five-game losing streaks in baseball history. I brought up the stat yesterday. It continued again last night. That is the fifth straight game in which the Padres have gotten a quality start from their starting pitcher. That's over six innings with three or few earned runs. And out-hit their opponent, had more hits than their opponent, and lost all five games. That has never happened in baseball history before, at least since they started recording earned runs in 1913, that a team has out-hit their opponent five straight games,
unbelievable,
got quality starting pitching efforts, and lost every single game. You're just going to win most of those games, 80%, 90% of those games. You're going to win those games when you out-hit your opponent and you get a great starting pitching effort. So you can look at it two ways, though. You can look at it and say this losing streak isn't really that big of a deal. They're not getting clobbered. It's not like they're losing big. They've lost by a total of six runs in the five games. You can also say they're certainly due to have a bad pitching start pretty soon.
They're due
to get out-hit by an opponent,
yeah.
And they've already lost five games. You know, you start now, you go into a slump now where you're not even hitting, or your pitching goes, you know, has a bad 3 days. Now you've got an eight-game losing streak. Now you're worried about losing 10 in a row. So you can look at the perspective both ways and say it's not really that reason for concern. They're doing a lot of things that usually lead to victories. But that's not going to hold forever either.
No, it will not. It will not. The whole.
Why do I feel like the Padres are always on the wrong end of these historic?
Because they are.
They are.
Historic.
They absolutely are.
They absolutely are.
All right, we'll come back. We're going to play some Take on Woods. Hour number two of Ben and Woods next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.